You will remember that we discussed in our last study. In fact, it is here in chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 7 that the apostles, the disciples, they said to the congregation, choose six men. Choose six men. Choose among you six men. And the qualification as verse 3 would tell us, wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men, yes, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And may I just refresh your mind? There was a time when a section of the church was complaining that the widows were not properly taken care of, and it appeared to have the ability for a big scandal to develop in the church. And therefore the apostles under the leadership of the Holy Ghost instruct the congregation that they should choose seven men. And the qualification for them is there, that they might appoint over this business, so that they, the apostles, will give themselves to the word and prayer. And therefore, it's a matter of delegating responsibility. Now, this is the first point that I would like to make based on the last discussion we had, that the apostles ask the congregation to make this decision. It is not the norm, that's the point I'm getting to, that it is not the norm in church operation that the congregation is necessarily the one or the section of the church that makes decision for the advancement of the work. This was a special situation based on the leading of the Holy Ghost through God's servants to the congregation that they should take on this task. We believe that church government is not congregational government, but we believe in leadership government in the church. But in this case, the leaders of the church choose to delegate responsibility to the congregation for the congregation to make a decision. And fair enough, every person that was named there by the congregation was accepted by the leadership of the church. And to prove the point, let me just read to us something here from Ephesians, from Ephesians chapter 4, just to prove the point here. Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 11. Listen to what it says. We're talking about not congregational government, but we're talking about church government. Verse 11 said, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And listen for the reason why these were given, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sly of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I might read verse 16 too. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That is what we describe as church government, the governing body of the church, to operate and to see the smooth running of the day-to-day operation of the church under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Not so much the congregation making these decisions, but the government body of the governing body of the church. And I might just add one more reading here in order to support this thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I read from verse 28 to verse 30. Listen to what it says. And remember what was just read. 28 to 30. And God had set, listen to the word there. God had set. That is deliberate. We're talking about in setting something. That means he has done it deliberately. Verse 28, and God has set some in the church. First, apostle. Secondly, prophet. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. And then the apostle asked the question, yes, that we sometimes do ask. Verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The apostle asked those questions there to speak to the different areas of calling in the church government so that the church will be able to operate properly. So we don't believe so much in the congregational government, but we believe in leadership government as it is set out there in the Word of God. But here, as the congregation made a decision in choosing these men, the responsibility was delegated by the leadership so that they were able to exercise their choice and right in doing so on behalf of the church. And that is one point that I would like to make. The second point that I would like to make is that what we have here as the apostles delegate the responsibility to have seven men take on this tremendous burden of work in the church, whereby they have to make sure that all the members of the church were comfortable, satisfied in food, satisfied in shelter, satisfied in different areas, satisfied in clothing, satisfied in all these areas. And they backed off from that area of responsibility to concentrate on prayer and the Word of God. What we find in the Word is that it is not the first time that such a thing happens. It happened before. Because if you read a passage of Scripture in Numbers chapter 11, I'm going to read something from Numbers 11, so as to back up the thought. Numbers chapter 11. I read from verse 12. I read from verse 11. Let me read from verse 11. Numbers chapter 11. Then Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest this the burden of all these people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Moses asked. Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom? As a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their father. Moses is asking God out of a state of burden. Mm-hmm. Verse 13, when should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh, that we may eat. Verse 14, I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 16, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take up the spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Let me go down to verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the word of the Lord, and gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took up the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and there were of them that were written, but they went out. They went not out of the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. I want you to get these final two verses here that I'm going to read. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. 29, the last verse. And Moses said unto him, envious thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. I stop there. I went down here in Numbers to point out to us that it is not the first time what the disciples experienced in this young company of the church. It is not the first time that God's servant came under tremendous pressure and needed help. And I want to say to all of us here tonight that I am glad for the help that I received from Pastor Fiani. I am glad for the help that I received from Pastor Daly. I am so glad for the help that I received from all the sisters at different points. I'm glad for the help I've received from New Divine whenever time they come down to minister, as you have heard on Sunday. But here we see where the apostles asked for help. And they were able to appoint 7 servants of the church to help the apostle in their work. And they were able to concentrate on prayer and the word of God. But then we see Moses alone was carrying the burden of almost a million people, because the word says that it was 600,000 footmen that were there. And you know, that only described the men, but the women and children were not counted in the 600,000 men. So you can see the volume of people that Moses, as a leader, granted there were other elders under him, but the burden of the people were upon him. And he bowed out before the Lord. And he asked God to kill him if he does not get help. And the Lord told him what to do. The Lord said, choose 70 men, 70 elders. And the Lord was quite precise, 70 elders that serve among the people. And the interesting thing is that the Lord said, I am going to come down. I will talk to them, and I will talk to you, and I will take up your spirit, and I will put it on these 70 men so that they will oversee the affairs of the people and lessen the burden that is on you, Moses. And that pleases Moses, that help is going to come for him to carry out the responsibility of serving the people the way the Lord wants him to carry it out. But it is amazing when you think of it, that Moses was so anointed that God was able to take that portion of spirit that was in him and distribute it among 70 men, and Moses was still heavily under the anointing. This is amazing. After taking out of him enough of his spirit to place upon 70 men, he was still heavily under the anointing. And you remember what the qualification was for these seven men. They must be filled with the Holy Ghost. Here, God is determined that those who are going to help Moses lead such a vast company, they too must be under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And one last thought on this. Two of those young elders stayed in the camp and they prophesy. They continue to prophesy. They continue to enjoy the anointing of the Holy Ghost in the camp. And somebody ran out of the camp, saw them, and rushed back to Moses and complained to Moses and said, these two guys are in the camp prophesying. And what did Moses say? As a true leader, Moses said, I would to God that all of God's people were prophets. Because they came to tell Moses that it's only you should prophesy here. It's only this level of office belongs to you alone. That was their thought. And Moses rebuked that young man and tell him that, look, in as far as he's concerned, he would prefer if all of God's people were prophets. His work would become easier. So when you see the responsibility was delegated to the congregation to make a decision so that men who were qualified could come and serve the church, you realize that this is the pattern in which God operates. It has happened before, and the Holy Ghost is now instructing God's servants that they should do it again. They should get seven men who will operate in the church so that the load that the apostles had would be lessened. I don't know if you'd like to share a thought there. I will just stop there for now before I go on to the last point. So at this point, I just opened the phone to find out if somebody have a thought on these two observations. And if not, then I'll move on. Okay, we go back to Acts chapter 6, I beg your pardon. And we said the last time that there is something in verse 7 that we did not have enough time to make mention of. And so we'll pick it up the next time that we come. And it verse 7 reads this way. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Listen to that. Now, listen to what the word had just said to us. Despite the attack of the enemy upon the church, wanting to create a scandal in order to kill the growth of the church. What we find here in verse 7 indicate the very opposite. It says the word of God increased, meaning witnessing was being done. You heard that's what this is one of the reasons why the ministering of God's word on Sunday is so meaningful, because it speaks to us go out there and talk about Jesus. Here it says the word of God increased. It means the believers start to talk about Jesus everywhere and every opportunity they get. And it was noise abroad. It was noise abroad. And it said as a result of that, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, despite the attack on the church by the enemy, as a result of the spreading of the word of God. There was a multiplying effect of believers pouring into the church simply because of the witnessing that was done by the people, the word of God being spread. We never get enough time to deal with this section here, the last time. But this one verse is so important to the whole discussion. Because where the enemy is trying to shut up the church, is trying to kill the work by introducing this scandal, the very opposite happened. A vast company of people flooded into the church. And I admire what happened here, because the Holy Spirit could leave it at that and still we would get the message. But the Holy Spirit went a little further, and look on what I call a little further. And we are still in verse 7. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The Holy Spirit could leave it there when he declared that a great multitude, a great number of disciples multiply in Jerusalem greatly. The Holy Spirit could leave it there and we would get the message. But the Holy Spirit, through God's servant, make it clear to us tonight that not only a great company of people were added to the church, but he was careful to point out that a great company of priests, the total number is not here, but we can look and see what the word is saying to us. He said, a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And this is a big thing, friends. This is huge. Because who is a priest in those days in Jerusalem? Who was a priest? Who is it that we describe as a priest? A priest in Jerusalem was somebody very active in the church. Somebody who burned incense. Somebody who administered over sacrifice for sin. Somebody who emphasized the need for circumcision and the rest. And here you have a new movement that has started. A new movement that has started. The church was born. And in the church, a doctrine that is in the church is not one that embraces sacrifice. Sacrifice was done away with as far as the new church, the new dispensation, the dispensation of grace, mean animal sacrifice is done away with. Priests embrace animal sacrifice. The burning of incense was something of the past. The circumcision of the flesh was something of the past. Paul writes about it in Ephesians chapter 6, I think verse 15, where he said, circumcision or uncircumcision value nothing but a new creature. These priests, they used to embrace these things in Judaism. And to see that the word said a great company were added to the faith, it means that they have seen a light. They have seen a light which was greater than the one that they had before. And this is the point that I really wanted to make to the church from the last time. That's why I said I need to come back to verse 7 to point out this important fact that the priests who have a life career of doing all of these things, the revelation of Jesus through the blessed Holy Spirit has reached them to God's word, and they are now embracing grace, the unmerited favor of God, which indicates that a new dispensation has started, a new covenant has been established by the blood of Jesus. And believe us tonight, this is what we would like people to see. Just like, oh, the Holy Ghost opened the eyes of these priests who used to believe something else. Now they are seeing a clear picture as to why Jesus died, and they are embracing it with the rest of disciples. What a move. What a move here by the blessed Holy Spirit. And that's why in this meeting tonight, I trust that somebody will see what the Lord is doing and to know that he has not changed. He's the same God then, he's the same God tonight, wanting to change people's life for the better. Not only a great company of people were added to the church, but a great company of priests were added to the church. So you find that when the enemy thought that he had started something that would sink the church, God, in his holiness and his wisdom, changed the old picture and kills the plan of the dragon. Let me open up the phones for a comment by this one. Thank you. Are you sure somebody has something to say?
Thank you. This is Sir Henry.
Yes.
So it is very evident that the recording sauna was made. Huh? Hello?
There's the next airing.
Yeah. Mr. Julie, do you want to make a comment? Okay.
All right.
To say that it's evident that in Numbers and here in Acts that Moses felt the burden of the responsibility and realized that he alone could not take care of ministering to the body and dealing with the daily needs of the rest of the group. And it was important to him to make sure that they be comfortable in their everyday needs. So the request was made, and it was not just a regular request. There was a prerequisite for those who you think should be able to help in a way that it will be very beneficial and productive concerning satisfying the needs of the people.
Yes.
The fact that these men were, they require these men to have wisdom, be filled with the Spirit, and be able to manage the affairs of families to the benefit of every family.
Yes.
And then the rest of the business would be taken care of.
Yes.
Also in Acts, it was also a prerequisite. Seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom they may appoint over this business. And as it was there in the Old Testament, it is required again here in the New Testament. For the same reason that there will be great evidence and benefits again to delegating this responsibility to those who you are in charge of taking care of the affairs of men, and I will be in charge of making sure that you are being fed the word of God so you can grow in the spirit and the knowledge of who God wants you to be in responsible spiritual growth and your life.
Yeah.
So it is important that the spiritual has to be taken care of as well as the natural.
Yes.
I could say more, but let me allow someone else to come in.
Yes. Bless the Lord. Thank you very much for that, Sister Henry, because let's look on this a little bit more here. This is one of the reasons why we as a church, the Apostolic Church in America, would love to get a place where we can go and worship on a regular basis, where we can set things in order. In order meaning to engage in the different activities that we as Christians is supposed to do under the government of God. Because there are things that we can do together, which we are not able to do if we are on a platform like this. And as I see what took place there in Acts, and as I see the reason for Moses to be crying out to the Lord, I realize that the body of Christ is not just us coming together and to have ministry in the form that we're having it now. But it is even more than that. Because this era of ministry, we are not able to go into as we would have liked. The reason for the selection of these seven men, so as to satisfy the body in the different areas of need, physical need that they might have. The apostles decide, yes, they are going to give themselves to prayer and the word, which is the spiritual aspect of the whole thing. But there is another side to it that we would love to be engaged in as a church, the apostolic church in America. But we have not yet received or seen or gotten that place in order to do it. Because we believe that the body of Christ, the believers in Christ, the affairs of the believers in Christ is more than what we are able to offer on this platform. So this is one era of truth that comes out of this passage here, that we probably should engage in a more urgent way in order to establish this, so that we will be able to furnish the entire operation within the body of Christ, so that God's people will be properly taken care of, even outside of the era of ministry, spiritual ministry. And so I am glad that we take another look at it, because if we didn't do that, then maybe this thought would not come out of it. But Moses, for the same purpose, told God that the burden was too heavy for him alone to carry. And God agreed that it is so. And he asked him to select 70 men. Here the apostle said the burden is too great for them. And therefore they asked that 7 men be selected in order to take care of the affairs of the people. And so I cherished that thought. And I believe that caused us now to want to start to look more intensely to see if we can secure somewhere where we can have all people physically together. Bless the Lord. Is there another thought before we go on to 8, which we are not going to spend a long time in?
Yes, Pastor Henry.
Yes, my sister.
Verse 11, then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. But these men were supposed to be full of the Holy Ghost, and they turn against Stephen. Suborned means hatred.
Go ahead.
And sowing discord among themselves, saying that they are men full of the Holy Ghost. So what came up in my mind when I read it today, that these kind of things have been going on from long time, because even today in our society, even the church, you have people who know the word more than some, And they tried to discredit them. So that was what happened there with those men in those times. They tried to discredit Stephen. And it said all those kind of things against him, which was not true. So we have to be very careful how we behave ourselves so that we are serving the Lord.
Exactly right, Sister Bennett. Yes, is there another thought? Okay. You're exactly right, Sister Bennett. Because listen to what next the enemy is trying to do. And I said to the church the last time that if the enemy tried to do something and it did not work, you can bet that the enemy is going to come back again. Mm-hmm. The enemy is going to come back again. The word said that the enemy tempted Jesus, and Jesus did not fall for his temptation. And at the end of three tries, the word said, the enemy leave Jesus for a season, for a while. So it means that once the enemy tries something and it did not work, he is going to try something else again. So I am saying to the believers tonight, be on the lookout. This enemy is persistent. The enemy is persistent to create damage and to create havoc in the believer's life. And we need to look out for the enemy because he is not too far away at all times. Look what happened. Look what he did. First of all, it was the apostles, Peter and John, that they put in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Then Peter and John came out. And what they did again, they put them in prison again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after that, what the enemy trying to do? The enemy tried to build up a scandal in the church to say that some people were being fed and some people were not. The Holy Ghost killed that by informing the apostles that they should seek men who will take care of their fears of the people. The enemy lost on three occasions up to this point. Here, the enemy is trying again. It's trying again. So verse 8 starts with Stephen, one of those seven men that were chosen to lead their fears of the people. But we find out here in verse 8 that and Stephen, full of faith and power, and did great wonders and miracles among the people. That is how they get to start to look at him. And you know something that Proverbs said? Proverbs said, a man's gift make room for him. A man's gift make room for him. Proverbs 18:16. A man's gift make room for him. And this is what happened to Stephen. Stephen, having endued with this power, worked wonders and miracles among the people. He was seen as an outstanding servant of God. And the very people, Sister Bennett, very people that were in the temple prior before the start of the church, they work with people on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is what it means here. This word here in 11 that you have just mentioned, verse 11,
yes.
Suborned men. Then they suborned men. That means they scheme with other men. People who comes from the temple scheme with other men on the outside to tell lie on Stephen and agree that they would go before the court and they will tell this lie. They call it perjury. In the court nowadays, they would call it perjury because it is an incorrect statement.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lie. So they go out and they get these men who would go into the court and they would tell the judge that this man, we have heard him speaking blasphemy. And you know why they could? You know one of the things that they charge Jesus for? They charge Jesus for blasphemy.
Yes.
That is one of the reasons why they crucified Jesus. They said this man commit blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No. Stephen, because of these men that they scrape off the street to come before the magistrate and tell lies. They have heard Stephen themselves speaking blasphemy. And against Moses and against God. That is what they say. He's speaking blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stir up the people and the elders and the scribe and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witness, which said, this man ceased not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and against the law. You see what I'm saying here? You see what I'm saying here? I mean, they arrange up the scheme that this be so. And they carry Stephen before the judge and declare that this is what Stephen has been doing, and therefore Stephen needs to be charged. Now, when you think about the ability of God and what God is able to do, his ways are past finding out. Because right there, the Holy Spirit is witnessing all of this. And the Holy Spirit chose not to intervene in the same way as he did in the three previous cases that went before Stephen. And this we will see as we continue to look at Acts chapter 7, which we will spend a long time in, because if you did not read the Old Testament, you are going to understand a lot about the Old Testament in Acts chapter 7, as Stephen gave his defense before this council. But the Holy Spirit, who was right there, decided that this case with Stephen is going to go differently than how it went with the apostles. And there got to be some reason for it, which we will pick up in our next study. Because we have here Stephen as the first martyr of the Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
Why did not the Holy Ghost stop these false witnesses from witnessing against the young deacon? He could have stopped that, but he chooses not to. And one of the reasons why he chooses not to is because of the confidence that the Holy Ghost has in his servant, Stephen. He saw where Stephen is not going to buckle under this pressure. He saw where Stephen has the determination to work out his salvation before God with fear and trembling. He saw Stephen as one who determined to stand up for the principle of God. And I'm saying to all of us here tonight that I trust that we will experience in our whole life at our different times of trial and testing the spirit that empowers Stephen. Look on the last verse, verse 15, what it says here. And all that sat in the council, that means Stephen before the council being tried, as they create this false news about him. All of them who were in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. What an amazing development. The enemy believed that he got Stephen. The enemy believed that Stephen is going to curl up and fret. The enemy believed that Stephen is going to disown the Lord. The enemy believed that as a result of what is being done to Stephen, the church is going to crumble. But the very opposite again seems to be happening. The word said, when they look steadfastly on him and Stephen, they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Calm. Cool, relax. In the midst of persecution and possibly death, Stephen maintained a calm spirit and a glowing face, a glowing countenance, as he relaxed in his God. Oh, my Lord. The enemy has done this before, church. The enemy did this before. You will remember Matthew 28. Matthew 28 tells us that when Jesus rose from the sepulchre, the guards that were there, they went in town and they told their superior that Jesus was no longer in the tomb. And in a case like that, them being a guard, they should be threatened right there by the council. And in fact, they should be put to death. That was the penalty during those days. If you are guarding a prisoner and you allow the prisoner to escape, then your life would go in punishment for that prisoner. Who's escaped? But no, they said, we are going to give you a story. And this story is something that you must stand by. You need to hold the opinion that while you were sleeping, the disciples came and stole away the body of Jesus. And in fact, the word makes it clear to us that that is commonly reported among the Jews up until this very minute, up on this very day. Read Matthew 28. So they went in town and they went out and they told everybody what the council said they should say. And it was commonly believed among the Jews that indeed Jesus' body was stolen. Here we have, these men decide to go right in front of the judge and tell a lie on God's servant. And that lie was accepted. That lie was accepted by the court. And Stephen was locked up, put in chains, because he is now deemed a dangerous man. We will hear a lot more about Stephen, because all of Acts 7 is about Stephen. So the next time we come together, we will go into that, Stephen's defense before the council. And as I said to you, the Holy Spirit did not stop it, because there is a reason for allowing this to happen. Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else they would like to share there? Just before we close.